Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing Miniatures Game podcast, brought to you by Dice Hate Productions. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 46, List Building. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
Good, thanks, Ed.
So we're down not one but two men. Sean has got some family things that he's dealing with, and of course Chad works tonight. So we decided to do an episode all about building a list that we're going to play in an in-focus episode later on tonight, or later on in the, on the Patreon, whenever you decide to go see it, where we're actually going to both build lists and then actually go ahead and play those. So let's get right into it. So, gee, what did Ed do gaming-wise? Not a lot to talk about, so we're going to lean on Chris once again. You've had a lot going on, so what have you been flying lately?
So I got to fly the Nom Lom, Fenro, and Boba Fett list, and that went really well.
Was it Boba Fett or Guri, I thought?
Oh, no, it was Guri. Yeah, Guri.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Guri Alpha. I was like, wait a second.
So I played two different games. I played one game with Boba Fett, Fenro, and a Mining Guild tie, and one game with Nom Lom, Guri, and Fenro. So yeah, two games. And did I play any more than that? No, I think that was it. I think that was all I played.
We even got photos and everything of the Nom Lom list.
Yeah, it was good. It worked how I thought it would. Nom Lom was annoying. I could definitely have used him better. I deployed him on the left-hand side of the table, thinking I was not going to expect him to go there because he can only turn left, and he can only turn left, so it was a bad place to put him. But I planned to go straight, barrel roll, and then clear my stress, and then talon roll.
Sloop. Sloop.
Yeah, so I was going to like take three turns to set up this nice long sweeping maneuver, and failed at the first hurdle because the barrel roll didn't fit past the rock that I was convinced I would fit past. So I stressed myself for no action and then had to continue forwards, and then I was doing the one right bank over two turns to try and do like the equivalent of a three hard turn. Then K turned and then came back in. So
yeah, that's how it works sometimes. But we did discuss in the last episode when we were talking about that list, he's not necessarily the key part. He's not the linchpin of your list. It's nice, and if he does some damage, it's cool, but he's not the linchpin of the list.
So his evade dice were on form. I had 100% accuracy from Dengar. He rolled, it didn't even matter that he couldn't take focuses because I stressed him, because he just rolled blanks to hit anyway. So whatever, Dengar killed everyone, it was fine.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, worked out well. It was interesting interaction. So I was playing against the new Resistance A-Wing pilot, ZZ, who after she defends or performs an attack, she can spend a recurring charge to gain either a focus or an evade token. But then it was like, I had first, he had first player. So it's like, well, do I get my token first or second? If I can gain my token, I can then immediately spend it to stop you triggering Dengar. It's like, well, player order is actually irrelevant. The defender activates their ability first. So Dengar would trigger every time before he got to take the token.
Is that in the rules? Or is that in the FAQ?
No, that's the rules is laid out in the aftermath step for how it works.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's a little nuance in the rules I don't remember catching.
Yeah, so it is defender performs after attacking steps that aren't performing an extra attack. Then attacker performs after attacking stuff that aren't performing extra attacks. Defender, then attacker.
Huh. Well, isn't that nice of FFG to actually lay that out very clearly in rules? That's awesome.
Yeah, right. Reading them's actually a useful tool.
Cool.
Who knew? Certainly not I, Ed. Certainly not I. Because I had to look it up again. All right. Yeah, cool. I will, in that case, just Dengar you every time. So he ended up like, I'm not going to spend my focus, so I can save it so you can't Dengar me. Then I wouldn't use Dengar. I'd wait and see if he shot me with somebody else. It was fun.
But it served as enough of a distraction, to say the least, to let your other ace pilots do their work.
Yeah, I think I traded Guri for Nian Num, where it was like the trick type Nian Num. I dealt with his fireball. I'd basically murdered Nian Num. And then I had Fenro and Nom Lom, and he shot me and I killed him, with Dengar. It was fun.
Just Dengar'd him to death.
Yep.
So ultimately, Andy did exactly what you wanted it to do.
Yeah, like, and Dengar had 100% success rate, so I can now retire a squad. Never need to play it again.
Never need to play that one again. It can retire from the annals of X-Wing history as a completely perfect list.
Yeah, I do. So what I probably plan on doing tonight is trying to recreate that list, but hyperspace legal. So I'll have to drop Guri, which kind of shifts the focus of it a little bit. So I've got a couple of ideas. I'm not 100% sold, but I'll come up with something before we finish recording, and then we can go
try it out. Yeah. Sounds good. What about the second list? I know you had mentioned it before, but I don't know if we know all the details on what you were running with the Mining Guild Titan Boba Fett.
Yes, it's Boba Fett with Darth Maul. Oh, not Darth Maul, just Maul. Boba Fett, Maul, Slave One, because why not? He has seismic charges. That's a word. I'm not doing well today. Ben Rowe,
just like
Steelers.
The movie, Chris.
Yeah, with Maul just driving and riding around, just like the movies, just like the movie. And then I have Ben Rowe with Felis and a Mining Guild Center of Initiative One. And the only reason the Initiative One's there is because I can't bring myself to have a 28-point bid.
So, too big of a bid for you?
No, it just feels too mean. Yeah,
it's not a friendly list whenever I'm like, yep, I'm always going to go first.
It's either that or I would put torpedoes on things that I really don't want to put torpedoes onto.
Right, because there's no reason to.
Yeah, so my Mining Guild Tie just flew around literally doing nothing, like taking pot shots at things from miles away, occupying space so that he hopefully bumped occasionally, and yeah, just being an annoyance that didn't die. Because it's a TIE fighter, it was the game, it doesn't die. I'm sure the next one will be the game where it just explodes to the first shot. So
that's what TIE fighters do, trust me, yeah. I know. I've flown enough of them. look at all of them die so quickly. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was a little bit brutal. Boba Fett did Boba Fett things. Fenro wasn't as on fire as he was in the first game. I think in that first game, in the first two shots, he got 10 hits. So,
yeah. Ooh.
He did Fenro things. In this one, he was only getting 3 hits from 5 dice. So it's terrible. Terrible rolls. I don't know.
Variance, my friend. Dice variance.
Yeah. I don't mind when it's in my favor.
Of course. Absolutely.
As I said to Joseph at the time, I'm so good at this game. Look at all these hits.
It does help when the dice favor you.
It does indeed.
So any other X-Wing that you played?
Not that I recall. I might have got games in since we last recorded, but those are the only ones that actually stand out. I've been doing life, lots and lots of living and being parent. And
yeah, we were leading into this and we were in the pre-show kind of thing. Yeah. You said you were kind of rough and baby's not napping anymore. Now you're going to stay up all the time.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help. So I'm trying to get just stuff done that I neglected when Joe's parents were here because I'm an idiot. Literally no excuses. I did a bad job of using my time when the grandparents were here to look after her. So I've got all of the stuff I could have done then. It's been too cold to spray undercoat stuff and get different layering done. So I've been trying to set up my airbrush again, but that wasn't working. So I had to find parts and fix that. Taxes all the time.
Yeah.
So I've got to do mine and Joe's tax return. My mum wants me to do tax return for her company because I do Dice 8's tax return. I need to do Dice 8's tax return.
When's your big date? Ours is April 15th.
I think it's April 1st, maybe. I don't. To be honest, I have no idea. I've got everything I need, and it normally takes me maybe 2 or 3 hours once I get time to sit down and start. But it's just sitting down and starting and having, Jill's got to be home because I've got to ask her questions about her, physio license fees and all of that stuff. And then Evie can't be, trying to use a computer.
Oddly enough, that so you need to make sure she doesn't fall downstairs and things. You have to do that parenting thing.
It's fine. It's all fine.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how ours are going to come out. We tend to pay the maximum amount of taxes, and not that I would ever get political on the show, because I'm not. What I can say is that the recent changes in tax laws due to new administrations in the last couple of years have not been kind to the Horn family in the last two, to say the least, and I don't know what changed, because I've always paid the maximum amount of taxes, and I'm getting less and less back every year, and I don't understand that. So
how you win votes, that you you squeeze the middle.
Yep, and that's what it is.
Everything gets pushed to one end or the other.
Yep,
it's like a tube of toothpaste. If you squeeze it in the middle,
yeah, all my money goes that way. So that is the closest in 5 years of podcast media that I'm ever going to touch on a political topic, ever, because I am not. I'm not picking any one side. All I'm saying is this shit sucks. So let's move on to a more fun topic. One that we started this conversation in the off show, in the pre-show, and you're like, no. Let's do it on camera. So it wouldn't be lack of focus if we didn't go in a completely different direction. So if you're not a boxing fan, the next 15 minutes may not interest you. But Chris and I started a great conversation about, there was a big boxing match this past weekend between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And holy crap, did Tyson Fury whoop the crap out of that man. First of all, I didn't realize Tyson Fury was that big. 6'9", 272, the man's a brick shithouse. And I've never seen Deontay Wilder like just beaten around the ring for seven rounds. I said to you in the pre-show, like, I was genuinely surprised that they didn't stop the fight maybe in the fifth, because I don't think Deontay Wilder threw a single punch in the fifth inning or the fifth round. But definitely the sixth, they should have stopped that fight before they did.
I'm firmly of the opinion that someone in Deontay Wilder's camp needs to be fired.
Are you talking about his excuse? All right, so he did publicly come out and
say... No, for not throwing in the towel sooner. Someone in his camp needs to get fired.
I got another reason why somebody in his camp should have been fired. So
I've heard the excuse. I saw the clip from the Joe Rogan Experience. Joe Rogan talking about wearing this like heavy suit.
It was when he came in the entrance thing. It was this big 40-pound heavy suit that he apparently put on like 30 minutes before entering the ring. Like, that's a good idea. First of all, I don't know, personally, I don't know that that had any bearing whatsoever. I'm not necessarily buying the excuse.
What had a bearing on the fight? Was Deontay Wilder not believing Tyson Fury when Tyson Fury told him he was going to come at him and keep punching him and put him on his back foot because he can't fight on his back foot?
Yep. It was so interesting to me to see the commentators in that fight go, oh, well, maybe his equilibrium was screwed off because in general, don't get me wrong, that first hit that Fury put in him on the third round and popped him and put him down onto the ground, they thought that he'd ruptured his eardrum, which is why he was like
stumbling. I thought he had as well.
So did I. And I was right there in the camp, but obviously tail of the tape after it, he didn't. He had to have seven stitches to create a laceration in his ear, but that was not what was his, why he was on his, I mean, off
feet. It still took a hit to the ear, so it...
Oh, yeah, no, like, disagreement.
His swags weren't there. Watching him move around the ring, he always had an elbow on the rope.
Yeah. Because
he didn't know when I say I didn't know where he was, I mean in relation to a ring. I don't mean it in that cliche in the boxing, you know, he doesn't know where he is type thing. He didn't know his positioning in the ring, so he was always using that elbow to judge whereabouts he was in relation to a ring so he could move around. And it just wasn't good.
And that's where
he was in danger of getting actually hurt.
Yeah. And when I saw him starting to put his hands on the rope to try to keep his legs under him, that's when the fight should have stopped. And I believe the first time that I saw that was in the fifth. It was definitely going on in the sixth.
The thing that I was chatting about this with somebody else the other day, and I haven't rewatched it properly, so I can't, I wouldn't bet my house on this. But when the referee docks Fury the point as well, that's where everything changed for me. It's like, well, Fury wasn't really like beating him in the, like, giving him a beating. As soon as the ref took the point off him, it's like, well, fine. If you're gonna, if I now have to fight you and the judges, because a lot of people think he won the first fight anyway, so he's already feeling like the judges are going to be against him. He's already now thinking he's going to fight a ref, so he's just going to keep hitting him and hitting him, and he wasn't putting up any defense. So there was no, I think it was bad refing. The ref should have called for a doctor. And I think someone in Deontay's camp needs to really be looked at, because the fighter always wants to fight. That's his job.
Yeah, your job
the,
is to
the
stop.
Corner is, yeah, like, it's no good. Like, I don't care if he comes out and knocks Fury out in the eighth round. If he's got, like, concussion and can't speak properly in another 5 years, you didn't do your job. Right.
Well, and that, so that's the problem, is probably not the right word. Deontay has a magic right hand. Like, that dude is a knockout machine.
42 knockouts?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, at any given moment in that fight, it, no matter how badly he looked, he could have come around with one good hard right and taken him.
I will disagree in that specific fight.
Well, yeah,
he was never in a position. After a third round, he was never going to be in a position to knock Fury out.
Well, and he, yeah, exactly. He looked like a completely different fighter, but they're, of course, going off his record, 42 fights. Yeah. Like, the guy's like a monster.
No, I agree that, and there's all the quotes and the cliches about, you know, he only has to fight perfectly for like 1 second, because that's all it takes. And it's true, but it's the first fight in a while where it took my enjoyment out of it, because I wasn't watching a boxing match anymore.
No.
I was watching somebody get beaten up.
Yep, I completely agree.
And
I mean, aside from maybe that ticky-tacky first round, where they were touching gloves and kind of measuring each other up, after that, Tyson Fury went at him for six straight rounds. Like, yeah. It was... there at no point in time from the bell of the second round until they TKO'd that in the seventh, did Deontay Wilder look anything at all in control of that fight?
No.
No point at all.
And I'm not trying to take away from what Fury did in there. I think Fury is, now he's matured, shall we say? Because obviously, I'm from the UK.
Did you see the same fight that I did? Because
you've got to go back and watch some early Fury fights for how much of a clown he used to be in the ring, and what the antics he used to get up. Like, you must have seen the clip of him like uppercutting himself and all that. Just because he like used to showboat and do like stupid things, he's matured as a he's a better fighter now. He's the best heavyweight in the world.
Yeah, no disagreement whatsoever. Scariest, one of the scariest fighters that I've seen in a really, really long time. But he did still do the tongue thing. Like, what the what, dude? Yeah. Like, that's the only thing, the only stain on that fight, in my opinion. It was like, oh, come on, man.
So the only person who could beat Fury is Wilder. Joshua doesn't stand a chance if he gets...
Yeah, and that's the fight they're trying to set up.
All right, I think that's Eddie Hearn just, I'm going to cash out now.
Yep.
This is where I sell all of my stocks in Anthony Joshua.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's going to be a good fight. I don't know.
It doesn't matter if it's a good fight if it sells out Wembley Arena.
So. And it will. No doubt about it. I mean, it'll be interesting to see the reign of Tyson Fury, because I mean, again, Deontay Wilder was probably the scariest heavyweight right up until this fight, and I genuinely believe that Deontay Wilder was going to beat him. I for one happen to agree that calling that fight a draw, their first one, was fair, in that Deontay Wilder put him on his back twice. Now,
I mean, if you go through and score the rounds properly,
and that's where I will absolutely agree.
So it's a 10-8 round at best if he gets put down. So that's at best for Deontay. So he wins two rounds out of 12 by a 4-point margin. If Fury wins every other round, that's a 10-point margin. So it takes it down to Fury wins by 6 points.
Yeah.
And so how many of those rounds where he didn't knock him down did Deontay win?
And you are correct. I'm not disagreeing.
There's no arguing with the way that you should score a boxing fight, man.
I have a hard time, though, raising someone's glove over their head who got knocked down twice and the other guy and didn't knock the other guy down. And I mean, unless even
as I said, there is. I didn't say that I didn't. I believe that he won the fight because he didn't. It was scored a draw. I said there are people who would say that Fury won that first fight.
And they would have a legitimate argument.
I don't know. I don't think there's a legitimate argument to be made that you could say that Deontay Wilder won a fight with Tyson Fury in that first one. I don't think you could say that Deontay Wilder won a boxing match.
Yeah, that's probably a good analogy.
Because it's a framework and rules for how you score a boxing match. So there we go. Rules as written.
All right, ding, ding. So we can mark that in the notes somewhere. That was our boxing. It was just a good. It was a good fight. I'm looking forward to the rate. I'm really looking forward to see what happens with Anthony Joshua if they do end up getting that fight together. But I don't know. I think we're living in a Tyson world, man.
It's unfortunate that he's at his peak now, because I don't feel like he's gonna have maybe 3 or 4 more fights and retire with no one to really challenge him to. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say. Because the closest challenger is Anthony Joshua. I think we both agree that that's almost a no contest. And
I think Joshua gets knocked out. He doesn't make it through.
And then
five rounds. Joshua's great.
You're not going to get magic with Andy Ruiz again. Like, you're not going to get, like, that. The dude's almost a foot taller than him. So who's even going to come close? I don't know. It'll be interesting. But you're right. It's probably going to work out that way. He's going to fight, like, 3 or 4 more fights. Hopefully he's smart and then ends it there and retires with a belt. And I think that's probably a good way to polish off a career, a great career.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the UFC's taken a lot of the glamour away from boxing, which is somewhat unfortunate, just from a selfish point of view, because I appreciate a boxing match more than I do appreciate a UFC fight.
And
they're both good spectacles, but I don't know.
This is where you and I agree, and there's a part of me that I like the UFC. I like watching full combat sports. I do have an interest. I am more interested in boxing, and we've stated it before. There is painting like a Van Gogh, and there's a Jackson Pollock. So both have their merits, both have their value, both have their fan. I just happen to be in one that I can actually, like, I feel that there's more art in one than the other. Boxing is definitely an art form, and I still appreciate it. So it's nice to actually be able to have something to talk about in boxing, because of how the UFC has risen to prominence as the premier combat sport, that boxing's kind of taken a sidestep. But that doesn't mean I'm still not watching.
Yeah, I think, as much as I love Mayweather, he was probably bad for
good for money, the entertainment. Bad for the sport.
Like, I could watch a Mayweather fight all day long, because the guy's a genius and an artist. But
he is.
It, for the general public who don't want to watch, people want to watch a fight, they don't want to watch a boxing match, and
because they want knockouts. They want people on the mat, and that's not the fight you're going to get with Mayweather.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that when you get a fighter like Wilder, he's putting people down, but he's doing it quickly. They don't want that either, because they don't feel like they've got a money's worth.
Yeah, it's the same thing that Tyson went through. Mike Tyson, yeah. the immortal Mike Tyson.
It's shocking, because what people actually want is to watch someone get beaten up. They want to watch Rocky. That's what people want.
Yeah,
people want to watch two people beating the ever-living shit out of each other. 12 drag rounds up, and then get knocked out in the last 10 seconds.
Yep.
And like,
that's just not boxing.
No, that is, if that was boxing, I wouldn't enjoy it, because that isn't sport. That is something else.
Yeah, it's called drama. Yeah. But I'm trying to do my best. You and I don't know if we talked about this on camera or not, but I watched it on YouTube the next day. I did not watch it live that night. Because I wasn't paying that kind of money to see a fight, as much as I did want to see it. But all of my kids were watching. Like, we all sat down and we all watched as a family that fight. And my kids were into it. And of course, my son Jacob's like, well, how would that guy stand up against Mike Tyson? I'm like, that dude's a foot taller than Mike Tyson. I don't know how that fight would have gone. I love me my Iron Mike, but he is a different kind of monster in that ring.
Tyson against Fury. I don't know, man. Like, I think
I know where I have my inclinations, but I am extremely biased.
Bias, yeah. Like, nostalgia is a horrible thing.
It is. In my genuine, honest opinion, 22-year-old Mike Tyson was the best boxer I've ever seen, hands down.
The problem I have with that statement is that it was the heavyweight division at the time. Is
you can only fight who's in front of you.
That's the problem.
Michael Spinks fight a real fight? No. Did he have a title that Mike wanted? Yes. Did he have to go through him to do it? Sure. But you can only fight who's in front of you. That's.
I would argue that Fury has fought harder fights than Tyson.
Oh, especially with Deontay Wilder in the division. I would agree with that.
Even like the Klitschko's.
All right. So you, Klitschko in his latter years, can we at least confirm, like, Klitschko is another one of those all-time classic greats, in my opinion. Holy cow, was that guy a
Just let
beast?
me do this for a little bit. Oh, just gonna hold my fist out and like just touch you with it. I hate that.
And I'm not.
I hate it.
You could push the same argument for the same style that we, as much as we hate to admit it, admire what Mayweather was able to do in the ring. Klitschko had his own style and his own clinic and how he, like.
So I could have trained Vladimir Klitschko. It's so frustrating to watch because it is a crisp jab, lean in with your right, so it goes over the top and then clinch. So you're landing 1.5 punches and they get half a punch back. So you just win on point. Like, that's it. It's one,
How
two,
is how is
one,
that
two.
any how is it any
Oh, man.
different than the unbreakable wall of Mayweather's defense? Do I mean I'm not I because if I have to give Klitschko in for his clinic on how his particular style of
Because
boxing.
Clay Mayweather makes so yeah, he Will Smith's in Men in Black, you know? He just makes his shit look good.
He does. He looks. I will not disagree that he looks prettier doing it.
I mean, it may be racist, but like, the Klitschko's are just big white men, so they don't look good, man. Don't show you.
All
The
right.
beast from the east, terrible.
All right, we'll leave it at that. It is a question for another time, but I personally, like I said, I still think Tyson, like Tyson had to fight who he had to fight. Each of them had their own. But all right, I gotta get off this so I can talk boxing all night. All right, so we were I don't think we even mentioned this yet. We were going to intentionally make this one a shorter show. So what else would you like to cover before? I mean, obviously we've got a couple of news announcements. Obviously the new wave is recently out. Go out and grab your fireballs if you want them.
Yeah, I think there's probably stuff we could talk about if we were a different X-Wing podcast, but nothing that really held my interest enough to want to go over. Like, there's been events and things, and people have won stuff, and we did really well. And
There's some.
I just don't care about competitive X-Wing anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
don't get me wrong.
sorry,
I'll
like
still
you,
watch. I'll still watch
we're
Worlds.
literally 30 minutes in, so just everyone can turn the show off now. I'm done.
I'll still watch Worlds. I still watch Gold Squadron just to kind of see what's going on. But that's mostly because I have a fond admiration for Dion and the work that he does, and I want to support him by getting him those views and getting those at least kind of keeping somewhat present. But yeah. All right. I think that's good. All right. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be building lists to play for our lack of our in focus, where we're going to sit down and play a Vassal game on YouTube for you guys. So where to begin? Prior to recording the show, we randomly selected for myself a faction to play, and oddly enough, it came up Rebels. So let's go there.
So I think let's do me first because I'm kind of
Sure.
done. So I definitely want to try and take as much. So I want to build a hyperspace list because it's Star Championship season at the moment.
Okay, so let's make
So,
sure we've set that standard.
and I definitely want to fly Nom-Wharm because that shit was funny.
It was pretty funny.
So I've got 44 points in. Then I need a crutch. So my choices for my crutch are either Fenrir or Bubba Fett. Bubba Fett's 85 points base, Fenrir's 68.
Yeah, but Fenrir throws the dice. He
Yeah.
slings them.
So I'm going to go Fenrir with Fearless because that totals at 115 points. So I feel like I can still get two ships in there. And I want to run four ships. I don't want to run three because I feel like my nom list does really well against three ship lifts. And I think that they inherently have weaknesses but are more easily exploited by ship count. So
I would agree with that statement in general.
that's where I'm at. So now I've got 85 points to spend. I probably don't want to spend all 85 of them. I don't think I need a huge bid with Fenrir, but maybe a 3 to 5 point bid. So call it 80 points that I've got left for two ships. So I'm looking at generics.
Probably not a bad idea.
So my choices then, look at Fang Fighters. Skull Squadron Pilot is Initiative 4, Zoskrut's Initiative 1, and it's a 6 point difference. So I can't get two skulls. That's 9 points over. I can get two Zoskrut's. Have a 3 point bid. So that fits. That's in the margin I just spoke about.
Yep, exactly where you want to be.
Yeah. Or The other thing, so this is the bit that's kind of been bothering me. If you open up the M3A tab, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of stuff in there to pick from, and they're all really cheap.
That is a long list.
Yeah, like I could do a Destani Point veteran.
How many points do you have left?
I've got like four. I can spend 40 points a ship. So something like I could do two Destani Point veterans with Fearless and Auto Blasters, and still have like a huge bid.
Yeah.
And like Auto Blasters, if I get someone at range one in Bullseye, that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
I could go with where's it gone? I could go with ion cannons and have control. Still only 38 points a ship, so my bait is still on the higher end. But it's I don't know. It's I want to do Tassani Point better. I want to do something with M3A, but
That's not a bad idea. I like the auto blaster on that. I really do.
what about what? Which of the named ones have talent slots?
I was just looking at that. Sunny does not.
So Leighton and Quinn. I can't take Quinn because he is useful. Genesis Red.
Seersu is one of the ones that jumped out of him, but that's your 40 points right there. That's actually over. But you could do
Yeah.
Seersu in a generic. But
But
if you're gonna pay for that talent slot, you're gonna want to at least put something in it.
yeah, I could do Fearless. She's 2x. And you get
Yep.
too many points.
Yep.
Iron Cannon. So that's 50 points. 30, no, terrible.
What was the talent you were thinking of taking with her?
So I want to put snapshots in. So I feel like if I do Discerning Point veteran with
I was just
snapshot,
going to say that.
it's 36 points, and then I could throw a cannon on. But it's whether I do. Does it have to be a cannon? Could I do? No, I don't want to do mag bolt. Yeah, I think it has to be a cannon. Could do auto blast. Try it. 39 points a ship.
Yeah.
Discerning Point veteran snapshot. I think we could try that. That gives me a 7 point bid.
There you go.
I could change them to ion cannon and have a 1 point bid, but that's a little bit on the low side.
And
Is
they
there a
don't hit as hard.
yeah. Well, maybe they do because the cannon can shoot out at range three with a three dice, so
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a wash, but you gain control.
I mean, it does set them up for Fenn to come in and knock them down.
The other one I thought about, if I put Contraband Cybernetics on Nom-1, it lets him do an action when he's stressed. If I need to turn right, I can still get an action once, just once.
Once. Just once.
And that might help. I don't know.
The one
But
time it comes in handy.
that's a 5 point. We'll keep it at a 7 point bid for now. I think I need more practice with the list anyway to figure this out.
Well, at least the meat of it anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like so now I've lost Guri, which is the big like end game ship. So I put a lot of weight for Fenn to carry. Fenn has to live now, so I kind of have to adjust the play style there. But I gain being Hyperspace Weagle. So that's a big gain if I want to play in hyperspace events. You know, let's be
Yep.
honest. If I want to play the
And
list in
that is where we are now.
Yeah. And then snapshot is good because it's just cheating. Well, it's a good counter to other aces. Auto blasters might work. Who can say? Right,
Auto blasters with snapshots, pretty good.
so I can't use the auto blaster attack on the snapshot roll.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because they're two separate secondaries.
Yep,
But
I forgot about that.
The good thing is if I'm ever out of arc and roll a crit with the auto blaster, you can't cancel it. That part of the ability is separate to the bullseye part of it for rolling an extra die. So I think that's where I'm gonna go. I think that's where I'm gonna go. And like I said, I thought I'd be relatively quick and easy.
Yep.
So there we go. I'm not gonna type it all in because it'll show up on the recording. But yeah,
Yeah, of course.
that's my list. That's what I'm gonna play tonight.
All right, cool. All right, so we're looking at rebels. So I've never been one to list cater. So like I'm not going to sit down and build a list specifically to try to beat Chris's list. Because the first thing that jumped out to me is I'm looking at all the rebel ships. I only have one option, one to meet your initiative.
Han
And that isn't a
Solo.
YT-1300. And I don't like that option. I like Han, but I don't like that option as being my counter, especially at the points cost that it's going to come in at. Because Han coming in at 80 points. Although the idea of Han and Boba on a table does feel kind of thematic.
Yeah.
Kind of thematic.
I'm glad you ended up with Rebels because this has been the one that I've really been struggling with the most. I just don't know.
All right, well, so I'm now going to force my, I'm going to take myself out of my comfort zone. Originally, I was going to say no to this one, but let's do it anyway. So let's start off with Han Solo at 80
You want?
points.
So we're going Han. Going Han. So the only Rebel list I've managed to make so far that I felt happy with does have Han in it.
Okay.
So I'll see if I can pull this up. We'll see how close you were to doing this anyway.
So, do we consider Leia basically a must if we're going to run the YT-1300 and
I did not take Leia. So I have a three ship list. It's Han and two generic B-wing, and I don't know that it's actually good, but so I went with Han, engine upgrade, Nian Num, and K2SO. Then I went with two Blade Squadron veterans with stabilized S foils, passive sensors, and auto blast.
Yeah, I could see that.
So you cruise up, you take your passive sensors. If somebody lands in front of you get your target lock, and then theoretically you can fire four shots a turn with your B-wings and Han still shoots them.
Yeah.
But I am not convinced because it's a three ship and
Yeah.
I don't like.
All right, so let's put that on hold for a second. So I think
So
if there
I
are,
do have an idea. So let build
I'm
I think
listening because I'm going to say if I, the first word, next words out of my mouth were going to be, so if there are cards that are stapled to this frame, engine upgrade is definitely one of them.
I don't know whether even engine upgrade is. I've, the reason I went engine upgrade was because I was taking K2, so I didn't want to end up double stressed. If you're looking at Leia instead, I don't know that you necessarily need engine. If you treat the boost as a I done gone fucked up and need to get out, then you just
You
take
can
the red
pop
boost.
Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the only gunner you can take is agile gunner. The title feel worth it anymore because you can't
No.
get enough actions. I don't know. Yeah, I think Nian Num is a solid choice. I think Lando's actually a pretty good choice. If you're gonna take Lando, then I'd see taking a Falcon title. So you could do that for 85 points. You can't take Trick Shot anymore. Do you even?
A talent for Han? Probably not.
No.
Selfless, maybe.
I don't want to take damage onto my like 85 point ship. Yeah, I can see. I mean, 85 points is still pretty cheap. So let's go with Lando and the Falcon title and literally nothing else for now and just see how this rolls out.
Okay.
Because I feel like this might fit. And if it does, it could be nasty. So I'm just going to keep clicking button until it says that I can't click buttons anymore. Okay. No, you can only get three, unfortunately. I was looking at that Han, and then you can get three Phoenix squadrons with snapshot. So three Initiative 1A wings that all double tap, hopefully, if they land at
What
range
was
two of
the
you.
talent? I'm sorry.
Snapshot. So you get your extra shot in the movement phase if you land at range two.
It's basically like a light fought Han.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think I would write. So you only save 1 point by going down to Lando. And Lando's ability is really, really good, but I don't know that there's the other ships.
I'm thinking we're square pegging round hole here. I think we're trying to
Yeah.
force the Falcon into a good position, and there just isn't enough room to
No,
do it.
I agree.
All right,
So
so let's scrap that.
now we so
So,
what initiative six is gone then. We
yeah, so
accept
that's
that
it.
we
That
can't hit six.
exactly. So then the question becomes, do we go Rebel beef with some regen to kind of just be able to absorb some of the hits and like throw back, hit harder than we take the hit?
I
Do we
mean,
go ace maneuverability?
I don't know that you can. Like, you don't
Yeah, because
have
you don't.
anyone who's. You've got the maneuverability in the A-wing, but you can't have the initiative. And if you
Right.
want like the initiative fives, you don't have a dial.
So in that instance, we should just go beef.
I think there might. So this feels really weird to say, but I think there might be something in that mid-range initiative for the Rebels where you try to just PS kill your swarm and then have enough beef and shoot into pressure the aces. But I really feel like you want to be hitting five ships.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking too.
So you've got the 5X, but it leaves you with no options at all.
None.
So I think I don't think a Phoenix Squadron with Snapshot is a bad place to start.
All right, let's do that.
That gets you a ship on a table, 36 point. It's a, use it for blocking, occupying space. It covers areas of a table and makes it tricky for people to position. And then, yeah, then we could try and fit four better ships rather than like four more standard, like B-wings.
And this is this. Yeah, I was just going to say, this is the interesting part whenever it comes to Rebels at hyperspace. So what are the good ships? I mean, sure, Luke's in there.
So
a couple of the named B-wings, but beyond that,
okay, I feel like no, that worked.
Because if you wanted to, you could max out B-wings at 200 points.
Yeah.
There's no initiative bid.
So what about your Nam Nam? Do you put a cannon on him if he's going to shoot? Yeah. Yeah, you do. You can't take jamming beam. You take a tractor beam Nam Nam. So this might be one to ask your TO about first. We'll get there. So, Nian Nam with stabilized foils, tractor beam, and fire controls.
Wait. Where's Nian Nam's in the
Ten Nam? Sorry, Ten Nam.
Okay, I was gonna say. I don't think I see him.
Yeah.
So Ten Nam with
stabilized S foils, fire control system, and tractor beam. I personally am in the camp, but that doesn't actually work together. So let's say that I'm right, and we take it so you don't have fire control system. So it's 53 point.
Mm-hmm.
But you could still. So now what we want to do is make sure he's a highest initiative. So maybe we'll have passive sensors on him. No, you can't take passive because then you can't activate his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how are we going to do this? 53 point. Just weave him there. Let's just weave him there. I can't think of anything good to put on him. So let's just weave him. So now we want some war initiative shooty ships. You can have a normal B-wing with nothing.
Okay, we'll go naked there.
We're at 130 points. So we've got 85 points. First ship, two more ships, too expensive. Yeah, so I feel like we've got to drop tractor beam. That doesn't work. Keep the foils because why not? You still get the barrel roll into a target lock, which lets you stress and target lock him, which he can then spend his stress as a focus.
Yep.
Then do you have to go 2x then? No, you're 7 points over, so you'd have to drop snapshot.
This looks very similar to the list we played the last time.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only kind of thing you do.
2x.
You could have a gray squadron. It just feels bad.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, I feel like if I have to take a second A-wing, you know, let's have a look. We did it. 3 B-wing, 2 A-wing. What can we do with that?
Three naked bees?
So keeping the 10, can I get something out? 3. So yeah, I don't think you can't run them both with snapshot if you want 10. Okay, let's try. Sorry, I'm kind of like.
No, I'm right there with you.
So if we do 2 Phoenix squadrons with snap, that's 72 points. Then how many B would you squeeze? You get 3 and have 5 points left over. So we could upgrade them for A, or you throw in an X-Wing. No bigs. So
the list that we talked about before when Sean was last on the show, I'm just going to kick this one out there because it's one that I was actually kind of excited to look at.
Yeah.
Was 4 B-Wings with a naked Jake Farrow.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And basically Jake's job is to follow and throw around focus tokens where he can.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like at the moment, how I feel like the meta is, I would rather have a Phoenix squadron with Snap than Jake.
Can you explain the thinking on that just out of curiosity?
So in a perfect world, I'm getting 6 shots a turn now rather than 1 shot from one of the B-Wings that's slightly better.
Yeah.
And
granted that those 2 of those 6 shots are 2 attack die attacks.
Yeah, but so if you go to five, either way, you've got 4 attacks. Oh, okay, let's take it all the way down. So you've got either way, you've got 3 attacks from B-Wings, which are just going to be focused. You've hopefully, if you can set it up, got target 1 shot lock. That's target lock focused. And then you've got... No, that's wrong. If you've got Jake, you could... If you barrel roll and boost Jake, he could give 2 guys a focus, actually, that aren't him.
2 guys?
Yeah. I'm just going to double check that I'm reading that ability right. Yeah, after you perform a barrel roll or a boost action, you may choose a friend of the ship at range 0 to 1. That ship may perform focus action.
Oh, snap. I didn't read it that way.
Yeah.
So he could barrel roll into 1, give a focus, boost, give a focus.
So then he's a 2 dice attack that's unmodded, and he has no defense. But two of your shots could be focused. but they would have had to been able to establish target locks, which means we're a couple of turns into a game. Like, this is an opening engagement because you're probably moving first. So yeah,
You're
I
leaning more towards a
feel
snap.
yeah, because he's a better blocker, and I think he occupies table space better. I don't know. I feel like Jake's really good. Like, you can invade. No, you can't invade Boost. What's wrong? I'm just bad at the game. Yeah, you can't double stack him. Yeah, like, he can do some funky stuff, shall we say?
That he can.
But I don't know that it'll be enough. Or I don't feel like I'm good enough with Jake or with an A-wing to do that, especially when they can't shoot out their butt. Yeah. Sorry, Ed, I don't feel like I'm helping you anymore.
No, we've gone back and forth on this one. All right, so we don't want to burn
Yeah.
too much time on this one. So why don't we go with the Phoenix Squadron, and then we'll keep in mind like what would Jake have done in this scenario? Well, we're gonna fly it differently too.
Yeah. All right, in this instance, I think I'd fly the blues, not necessarily in a block, but maybe in two groups of two, relatively close to each other, just so I can cover a wider part of the table. And then have Phoenix dropping in around them, so it can try and like have that range two band covering off areas. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe one snapshot isn't even scary. So
Maybe.
yeah, I don't know. I feel like Rebels are the one I'm struggling with the most. I feel like I would just go five X-Wings and hope, which just is a massive feels bad man for squad building, because it just doesn't feel good. Yeah, like, it's the only faction where I honestly feel like I've got my hands tied behind my back with the options that I have.
Which is an interesting, like I said, interesting how the dice came out like that.
Yeah. So are you gonna go with Jake? Well, that was the one you initially thought of, or are you gonna go with Phoenix?
I think
Did I bully you too much?
no, I don't think you bullied me too much. I think I am gonna stick with Jake for now and just see how it goes.
Yeah, I definitely think if you get a matchup where if they're flying initiative threes, I feel like you can do a lot of work with Jake and get value out of him. But I'm still in that 1.0 mindset of all or nothing when it comes to initiative bids. But it's
That's why I'm
five.
at 200
Yeah,
points.
it's five or nothing for initiative. I don't care what it is. It's either one or five or six. That middle band, it's very matchup dependent, and that depends on your local meta and what you've seen. A lot of if people are flying a lot of vultures, and maybe you want the initiative fours because it kills the initiative three vultures. I don't know. Best show ever, Chris says. I don't know a lot.
Oh, I should probably pick rocks. That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I
Yeah.
already did that. Look at that.
So, what you reckon?
I may have had this saved before I started. So ultimately, I ended up with the list that I was gonna when I went rebels. Like, oh, this is a rebel list I've got built.
The one you were gonna run anyway.
Yeah, it works. But at least we talked some sense through it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It's good having an extra voice to bounce those ideas off.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I want to make a YT-1300 list work, but I don't think they do. I want
And
to
we talked
do.
ourselves down from that really quick.
Yeah, I want to do stuff with the A-wings, but I just don't. We don't have enough in the tank when they can't shoot backwards. X-wings. It's 5x or nothing. I don't think there's enough value in them. Like, Luke is it's a really good ship, but it doesn't have anything to fly with him.
Yeah, he needs
Like,
the help.
if you're taking Luke, you've got to take protons, or else or at the very least you're looking at like maybe plasmas, but you might as well spend that 4x just for proton. You're at
Exactly.
75 points.
And then you're in
So
hand territory at that point.
it's that ship count again. It's like, do I really want it? Right, now I've got to put a cheap A-wing in there as well to balance out the fact that I put a lot of ships in here to get to that magic four ship number that I'm looking for. Because especially with Rebels, I don't think you can do a three ship list and enjoy it. I just feel like they'd get picked on too much. Like, can you imagine? So you've got to take a B-wing if you want. So you've got Jeena because she's initiative five. We'll give her what she wants. Configuration, and I don't give her a cannon shit so she can double tap. Maybe we'll try and live that dream. That's 130 points. So now we're playing the initiative five game. So we go Fane Kyrell, he gets torpedoes, and we've got a 9-point bid. That's no astromechs, Nothing else. Probably put an astromech on Thane so we can clear the stress that Gina's going to give him. Yeah, so you've got a 7-point bid for initiative fives. Maybe you put talents on someone. All right, so you fly Gina at me and I snapshot her to death because she's an initiative one ship. So, yeah, I feel like most lists kill one of your ships in a turn, so you need to get that alpha strike off of your torpedo. You're definitely just playing a dice game at that point of do my torpedoes remove a ship before I take too much damage, and you probably need to kill two if you're going to win. Yeah, that's hard. So yeah, I feel like we're back to a point where we just were of you having four B-wings and Jake and your muted barrel.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I muted whenever I was hitting my vape, and I forgot to
It's
unmute.
okay.
Yeah, no,
I was just talking anyway.
that's okay. I was mostly
A
agreeing with you because
long monologue of
I was mostly agreeing with you anyway.
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't. There's probably something with Y-wings. I think me and Sean looked at a while ago when we're just doing like massive beef and just push them forwards and aim to go to time and hope that they didn't kill you quick enough. But without veteran turret gunner, even that. Yeah, so think rebels are the bottom of the pile for hyperspace at the moment.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So this
So,
will be a good fight.
yeah, if you disagree with that statement,
Okay, let
feel
us
free to let
know.
us know. What are we missing with rebels? Why can't I make a list that I like for hyperspace rebels? Yeah.
These are fair questions.
So find us on Facebook, I suppose, like a focus podcast. You can email us the reasons why we are bad at the game at lackoffocuspodcast@gmail.com. If you feel like the show's betrayed you because we just said we didn't care about competitive X-Wing anymore, you can send us feedback on that as well.
Yep,
But
let us
no,
know.
thanks for all of our Patreons who've been supporting us. It's been really big help. I'm going to be sending out those spy versus spy cards, which I'm taking up to show you now. Got a couple of them.
Woohoo.
So there is the Sun Fact.
Oh, that's cool.
There's the Shuratech.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
cool.
and the Ensnare is a bomb. But unfortunately, I said we gave them away because I only had two sets. So yeah, sad times.
Sad times is what it is.
Yeah, and yeah, they'll all be getting sent out this week probably. As I say, I'm just terrible at life at the moment, so sorry. The people whose Roger tokens got lost in the mail, I'll be sending the replacements out as well.
Oh
A couple of guys in the UK, one of the friends got them, and then other people just didn't. So I'll send them out again. Hey ho, sad times.
no. It is Royal Mail. We'll blame them.
Yeah, probably. The Discord's been pretty good, so make sure you're in the Dice 8 Discord. Been chatting about some X-Wing stuff in there. People have been posting their repaints and things like that. So yeah.
Yeah, someone put a skull on the intercept or
The
the infiltrator.
Sith Infiltrator, yeah, Darth Maul.
Ooh,
Looks pretty neat.
it does look really neat.
I'm looking forward to it. He said he's going to put a red stripe on, which I think it's really going to make it pop.
I agree.
That'll be cool. I'm going to do a repaint of the Jumpmaster to match Nyan Nom-Wa.
Ooh.
So, one of the reasons why I've been trying to get the airbrush set up and everything, so I could do that.
My whopping last models that I actually applied paint to were my Jump Masters back in the days in first edition when they were running three of them. I made one red and one blue and one green so that I could distinguish between which one was which on the table.
So,
Woo!
I didn't actually own a Jumpmaster when I made that Nom-Wa list.
Oh,
So it's
really?
like, it's fine. I sold all my stock, my ships to the store, and I rebought stuff as I was running them. So I thought, like, the store will have a load of them used because no one's running Jumpmasters. I went on, and we only had one left in the store, and its peg was broken. I was like, I'm not going to pay money for one of a broken peg, even if it is discounted. So I
Was it
went,
the peg that actually holds the model itself, or just the
yeah,
peg?
the peg that holds the
Oh.
model. So because it's the Jumpmaster's off to one side, so if you push it centered, you're not pushing it centered, so you put extra pressure on it.
Yep.
So I was like, that's fine, I'll just buy a new one. It's got a nice engine blow effect in the new one anyway. And then I immediately broke the peg on
Oh.
that one.
Oh.
I literally putting it away after the first game, broke a peg. So, well, I'm glad I didn't buy the broken one.
Yeah, no, I think I was reaching the point, especially the TIE fighters were notorious for that too, because you try to put them down on the pegs and then you, because they have those little spindly bits, that's the only thing that holds on the solar panels on the side. Like you'd put them down and you'd snap one. I've got like three of them that I have done that to and super glued to death. I'm like in the camp for those guys that actually put like the rare earth magnets on it. That's the way to go.
It's loads of people in Calgary do it, but I'm too set in my ways. They come with a peg, they must have a peg.
I understand, but I was the guy that used to run like aluminum flight stands in 40K, man. I got tired of snapping those damn things. Because, again, for those of you that have never played Warhammer in any way, shape, or form, they've got these big, gigantic 60, 80, 90, $100 models. They put one little thin plastic peg to hold it up. And God forbid if you put it on the wrong piece of terrain, it tips over, snaps those damn things right off, and the peg goes in the model. You're never getting it back. So I always went with aluminum pegs. It was the best way to go. And these, it wouldn't help because the part that's breaking on these models is not the pegs themselves. It's the actual holder. It's the actual female
receptacle.
connector to it.
I don't know. I'll figure something out. I probably will have to magnetize some of them, maybe. But
Yeah, at some point, I broke enough pegs in my time that like point like I ha All right, so you get to the point where you own as many ships as we do. We've got enough pegs floating around that if you snap a peg, it's not that big of a deal.
I'm actually one base short now
Oh.
because I took everything to the store and I've been buying it all back. So I'm missing one medium base for it's a bounty hunter that I repainted to be
Aww.
the green and gray from the old art card. So he was on the big base in the display cabinet in the store. So I never accounted for it when I grabbed my medium bases. So he's just sat on the floor, not on a base. I went, oh, I should probably
Oh,
find one.
probably. They do sell those.
Yeah. And then
You get extras.
I've got a lot of colored bases now. I have the Trade Federation are all on orange. Resistance are on purple. First Order's on red. All of my Jedi have a stand that matches the color of a lightsaber.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. The only thing I ever did with painting bases is I painted them black. Because, all right, long way back, in covered wagons and black and white TV days, when X-Wing first came out, all everyone ever did was put star mats. That's all it was just black space star mats. And to be able to just like black, just have a black peg with a black
Well,
with a black base looked really cool.
I had eight bases that were all black for my eight TIE swarm.
Yep, I did the same
Those
thing.
were the days.
And then I went as far to put like stick tack underneath the bases so that they weren't sliding all over the places.
That's I the punishing one I bought. The base was curved at the corners. It was all it. So it
Oh.
was a ball. So the number of times it kept spinning on the table. I was like, oh, it's like, do you care? I can go and replace it now, or we can just play this game out because it's non-one. He's gonna be pointing his arc at you anyway.
Doesn't matter where he goes.
Yeah, just keep shooting him. He's gonna shoot you back. It means that fine arc line is irrelevant.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, so I think that's going to do it for this, what was supposed to be a short episode, but I think we ended up going for a pretty good long time,
Yeah, I
actually.
think we're on like an hour and a half, an hour and 20-ish, probably.
Yeah, that's a short show for us.
Yeah.
So, all right, so I do appreciate it. Chris, always a pleasure talking to you. We're not done because we're going to go play X-Wing after this.
Yeah, it's good to be here as always, Ed.
All right, and as always, guys, we do appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hopefully, we'll have more members on the next episode. I think this is the Thursday that we can catch Chad next time. So
That's good.
I'm hoping to catch a wild Chad out in the wild. So, all right, so until next time, guys, as always, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.